Well, let's take our Bibles, and we're working out of Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, the last book in the Old Testament. And we're taking our time, and you know that, you've figured that out already. We're taking our time, and we went through the first chapter, and he picked on us a little bit here. He picked on some church members, and then we started chapter 2, and he's picking on the preachers. And we started that last week. I was trying to make that short and painless, but here we are. Malachi chapter 2. I have chosen this passage because it's so apropos for our society right now. There's nothing new under the sun. It may take a little bit different in different form, a little different approach, but it's what happens in the heart is the issue. And the hearts, the heart of man, it's deceitful above all, desperately wicked, always has been, always will be. And it's amazing how we can play lies with ourselves, we can deceive ourselves. And Ephesians talks about our deceitful lust. And so anyway, we're going to talk about some things here. I want you to hang on tight with me this morning. Let's read Malachi chapter 2, verse number 1. We're going to read through verse number 9. It says, "And now, O ye priests," that's those who take others to the Lord, "O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it." We'll talk about that at another time. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him," and we'll talk a little bit about that here this morning. "My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from in iniquity. For the priest's lips," watch this now, "for the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth," at God's mouth, "for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." He's got a responsibility to tell others about Christ, to tell others about the Lord, okay, in this particular time. And he says, and so we have that responsibility. "So the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth. But ye are departed out of the way. You've caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." Partial law says you kind of keep the parts you like and get rid of the parts you don't like. It's kind of partial. We started this last week, and I only got about halfway done. And so we're gonna have a kind of a part two here. And we call this Pussyfootin' Preachers. Pussyfootin' Preachers, part two. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, there's some things that I need to learn and be aware of, reminded of. And of course, our society needs to be reminded of these things. But Lord, as the church, as the people, they need to be reminded of these things and make sure that they're where folks are seeking the Lord, where they seek it at your mouth, where they bring glory to your name. And we've got to make sure we've got ourselves lined up, keep ourselves in tune with you, keep our priorities back to the Word of God, constantly going back and acknowledging you in all our ways, acknowledging you, going back to the Word of God. Forever it settles. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be reminded that we don't drift away, be sifted away and out, and old Satan, he'll try to sift us as grain, and we try to, before long, we're not careful, we've kind of drifted down the river and we're not anywhere near where we started. And Lord, I pray that you give us your wisdom. I need your Holy Spirit, so these folks can understand, so that I can present in a way that pleases you. So Lord, again, we put it in your hands and we give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Last week we talked about some things. I'm going to just go through that quickly. There were several points. He says there's some things that the priests are supposed to do. And for our benefit and for our discussion here, let's say the preachers. The priests, remember, the prophets are the ones who tell man what God wants us to know. That's what a prophet says. Sometimes it was foretelling. Some was just forthtelling. But the prophet tells, it comes, gets the word of God and brings it to the people. The priests are the one who take the people and like are the mediator to bring them to God. And so he says, and which is really what the preachers do these days. We don't call them priests, but the preachers are to do to bring the folks to God, to give them the word of God, to draw them to the Lord. Now he says, now if you're going to do this, there's three things you need to make sure you're doing. The purpose of the preacher is what we talked about last week. The first thing was, we found in verse number 2 here, he says that we're supposed to give glory unto thy name. So he said, if ye will not hear and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name. That means we got to make sure everybody knows who God is. Not only do we need to know it by word, but by deed. They ought to see something different in a Christian. They ought to see something different in the preachers. You know what we have? We have a society these days that think we're going to reach more people by being like the people. There's a movement called the Emerging Church. And basically, it means to be cool dudes so everybody else feels comfortable with you. Well, listen, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. I don't want you to think that I'm anything more than you are, just that God has simply allowed me to be my part within the church is to be the pastor. And I'm glad that he made me the pastor. But the fact is, I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you are, and so is everybody else. However, I don't have to go to a bar to win somebody who's a drunk. I don't have to drink to do that. I don't have to do drugs to win somebody who does drugs. I don't have to go down. Listen, there are some of them that actually, be honest with you, they kind of proud of the fact that they have vulgar language because they feel like the general world can relate to that. There's all kinds of things that we do. There's churches in our area that have liquor licenses. And they have a bar in the basement. They figure it's going to draw some folks in. Well, it probably will. Now, you know, I don't think you're doing any good. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. He that's deceived thereby is not wise. Now, if you want to try to say that it's not wrong to drink, it's obviously wrong to get drunk. Okay? And if you want to say it's not wrong to drink, if nothing else, the Bible says it's not wise. In other words, it's stupid. At the very least. Now, the fact is, there are a lot of folks that are trying to, we ought to be bringing glory to God. They ought to know who God is by who we are. I wrote a song. I was going to dig it out, and I never got to it. I wrote a song. Oh, man, it's been 35 years ago. And it starts out, Sunday morning Christians just break my heart in two. They say they love you on Sunday, but on Monday they will sue. These people want to live two lives, one with Christ, one without. Jesus says you can't live both ways, and that's what I'm talking about. Are you living God's word? Are you living God's truth? You better get your Bible out and look again to see if you're living God's word, if you're living God's truth, because your gospel's all the sun may ever see. And that's the truth. You are maybe the only one that they ever see. First thing, and by the way, we're a kingdom of priests. Anybody can give somebody the gospel. It doesn't just take the preacher. So in a way, it applies to all of us. We ought to live a life that brings glory to God. Second thing it says to have lips that keep knowledge. That was over in verse 7. Lips that keep knowledge. We ought to know what we're talking about. Know the word of God. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. We ought to know the word of God. We ought to keep, he said, when you keep, that doesn't mean you keep it in, don't let anybody hear it. No, it means that's what's in your mouth. I mean, if you open your mouth, things of God start falling out. It's there all the time. You're ready. Study to show thyself approved, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ought to know the word of God. But isn't that the preacher's job? It's the preacher's job to do that, to help teach you. We're supposed to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, so far, I don't know all of them. I know some of them. I'm knowing more all the time. But that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to learn the Word of God so we can live by the Word of God. So we're supposed to keep the Word. We're supposed to guard, we're supposed to tend to, not allow it to slip out, not allow it to be replaced with other stuff. And number three, we found in verse truth, that we're supposed to keep truth. We keep the truth, and then we're supposed to seek the law, what it says here, at his mouth. Look at verse 7. And seek the law, right in the middle of the verse, at his mouth. What does that mean? We need to know the Word of God, not the Word of man, of what he said about the Word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading some other books and trying to get some ideas. Listen, I have some commentaries. You know, if you come in my office, I've got books all over there. It makes me look smart. But I got a lot of books on the bookshelf there behind me, and I've read a lot of those books, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I know, I read a book that I know that the guy's come from the wrong direction and want to see what's happening. Sometimes I know they're good, but to be honest with you, a commentary is a word of man. Now, there's nothing wrong with learning those and getting yourself going in the right direction, but the fact is what we need to know is the Word of God. Now, it's interesting that in Exodus chapter 20, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he brought them out there. You go back and read it. And when he gave the Ten Commandments, he spoke and they heard the thunder and the lightning. He said, listen, I want you to know you ought to seek the Word right from his mouth. Get it from the lips. You know, you say, I want to hear from the horse's mouth. Now, when he speaks, it's true. It's not like when some people say, no more taxes, read my lips. All right? Some of you old folks know what I'm talking about there. Some young folks don't have any idea what I'm saying. But no more taxes, read my lips. That's not what I'm talking about. When God speaks, he speaks. And it's true. His word is forever settled. He knew what he was going to have his prophets speak before the foundation of the world. He knew what they were going to write in this book before the foundation of the world. It's true. It's righteous. It's holy. So we're supposed to bring glory to God, bring others to Christ. And so how do you stand for God? By standing on his word. Now, this is what his word says. This is what you do. Now, if his word says don't, then you don't. Now, this is not rocket science. If he says do, do. If he says don't, don't. What part of the word don't you know? You know what I'm saying? It's we're supposed to seek it at his mouth. You know exactly what he said. Now, that's what we're supposed to do. Truth is essential. The Word of God is truth. And so thus the Word of God is essential. Now, that was last week. And you said, why didn't you preach it that short last week? Number two, the problems with preachers. That was the purpose of the preacher. Now we're going to get to the pussyfooting preachers. The problems with the preachers. What's the problem? They're pussyfooting around. What does that mean? Do you ever watch a cat go across a picket fence? You know, do you ever watch a cat find something in the middle of the room that it doesn't know what it is? Then it jumps back. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't know what to do with it. It comes over, it smacks a little bit, and it backs up, checks it out. You know? And that's, I hate to say it, is what a lot of people do with the Word of God. They kind of look at it and then they kind of jump back. They kind of play with it a little bit there and, you know, and they kind of walk up behind and kick it to see what happens, you know. And they're pussyfooting around. They're dancing around like a cat. They're coming at it and then they back off. They're skittish. They're kind of wary of it. They're nervous. They're tentative. They'll jump into something, but as soon as it looks like things are not going to go right, things are going to go wrong, they jump back out. They say, we're going to stand for this. And as soon as there's a little opposition, they're back up in the windowsill, just observing. Now you say, sick them to a dog. He'll grab a hold of that thing. He's not going to let go until it's done. You know what I'm saying? But the cat sometimes is kind of pussyfooting. Too many preachers, too many Christians are pussyfooters. They play with God. They play with the Word of God. But we need to grab a hold of it and not let it slip out. Keep it. Guard it. Stand there. And we give the third. So we have the purpose. Here's some problems. The first of the problems is this. Preachers who want position. Preachers who want position. This happens with lay people as well. They want everybody to listen to them. Sometimes they want to be the big man in town. They want to be the one that's all over the internet. They're more worried about their PR than they are about the Lord Himself. They want to be important. They want to be a preacher because everyone has to come and listen to them for an hour every week. I heard a guy say that one time. I thought for a while I wanted to be a preacher because that way everybody has to come and listen to me for an hour and can say what I want to say. Well, you're not saying what you want to say. You're supposed to say what he has to say. Now, try to be mean here. I'm just telling you this is what he's saying here. He says, you guys are not taking what we're doing seriously here. I got to look at it, and I'm going to show you here an example of something here in a moment. Being the one giving truth is a great responsibility. James 3 says this, "My brethren, be not many masters, none that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Matthew 12 says, but the words of Christ says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Sometimes it's just like we want to be the expert. 1 Timothy 1 says this, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia," this is Paul speaking, "that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity," that's love, "and of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of a faith unfeigned." That's what we're looking for. "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." In other words, we got to make sure that we stand on truth. We really know the truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't pull one verse out of context and say, there it is. Whole denominations have grown up out of that. They've taken one verse, and if you go back and read the rest of it, they don't understand that that's not what it says. So we've got preachers who want position. I'm going to give you another one here, and this is probably and we're going to spend our most time right here. Preachers who want to please the people. Now, it's not wrong for the people to be happy. It's not wrong for them to be pleased, as long as they're pleased with the things of God. Now, this is kind of where we are right now. We have an awful lot of churches that are trying to please the people. Fact is, if we were already perfect, we wouldn't need to go to church. But that's not the case. You know, we have our school back here, and sometimes the kids say, this is hard. I don't know this stuff. That's why you go to school, learn it. If you're already, we're born with all this knowledge, you wouldn't need school. Of course it's hard. My wife always says it's only hard if you don't know the answers. Isn't that right? And so the stuff we did in first grade really aren't hard, even though when we were there, it was terrible. Oh, my soul. 2 times 2. What are we doing here? That one was easy because it was the same as 2 plus 2. That was easy for me. I got that one right. But after that, it was pretty tough stuff. I want to show you something here. The Israelites got out of Egypt, and Moses went up to the mountain, but he wasn't all, and God spoke with him. But the fact is, there was a time in Exodus chapter 20 that God actually spoke and told the people. Now the people said, "Oh my soul," you go back and read it. And it's when they give the Ten Commandments, and the people heard it. They heard it with their own ears. Said, "Let's not do that again. Moses, you go find out what God wants, and you come back and tell us." Now, right there is a danger. We're following man rather than God. Now, I should be leading you in the right direction. But if I get off somewhere, you make sure that your eyes are on the Lord and that Word of God. So how do we know to trust you? Well, I'm doing my best, and honest I am, I'm doing my best to teach you right. But you keep your eyes on the Word of God. And see, too many people follow a personality. They follow a person. And they're scared for a one-on-one relationship with God. Now, God is the creator of all the universe. And we should fear Him. We talked about that. Said, where's my fear? Where's my honor? On the other hand, He is our Heavenly Father. And we should be able to go boldly to the throne of grace and find help in time of need. We ought to be able to go and get the Word of God directly from Him, and He wants us to. Now, they said, we don't want to hear this. And so time went by, and Moses went back up to the mountain to see God. He had come down and the first time, but then he went back up to the mountain. Then go ahead and look at it with me. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. I want you to see something here. We're going to relate to Moses as being the preacher. Aaron, his brother, is kind of like his assistant. So Moses is going to go up to the mountain to have a conference with God. So while Moses is at a conference, the assistant pastor's in charge. And while the assistant pastor's in charge, the people decide they're going to take advantage of that. And they start demanding some things. So this one is the preachers who want to please the people. Years ago, when I was in college, the first time I went to college, it was a secular college. I was getting my music degree. And we were on a choir tour, and one of the guys in the choir, we were sitting on the bus heading to another place to sing, and we got to talk, and he said he wanted to become a pastor. I said, "Really?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, why do you want to become a pastor?" And of course, I'm hoping he's going to say, "Because I want to win souls to Christ and see him come to go to heaven. I want to come grow in the Lord, you know." That's what I wanted to hear. He says, "I want to help people." Well, I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, I mean, do stuff to help people who are having a hard time, this and that." Well, that's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But join the Peace Corps. Now, we should help one another. Don't be wrong. We should help one another. But that's not the main purpose of the church. The main purpose of the church and the power that was given to us by the Holy Spirit was to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, wanting to help people is a wonderful thing, but it's not the main purpose. Watch this. We don't work for the people. We work for the Lord. Now, we're not here to please the people. We're here to please the Lord. Now, preachers want to be seeker sensitive, but we really make sure that we're Savior sensitive. Now, by the way, there's no one more seeker sensitive than the Savior. So we're like the Savior. We're doing what God wants. This is the way God designed it. Now, look on your passage there, in Exodus chapter 32, verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, so he was up there. I think it was going to be another 40 days there. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, assistant pastor, and said unto him, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Now watch this. As soon as they don't understand everything and know what's going on, these people go looking for another God. As soon as things don't match our expectations and our plans, we can go looking for answers someplace else. Do you have faith in God or not? How many times you say, well, I thought this was what was supposed to happen, but it didn't happen. And then this little thought crosses your mind. I wonder if God even cares. I'm not going to ask for testimonies. I wonder if God, you hate to say it, so I wonder if God's real. I wonder if this whole Christianity thing isn't just a farce to get our money. Some guy's trying to make a living. Or is this real? Look what happened. They go to Aaron and said, make us gods. Verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, no, we're never going to do such things because we heard it from the mouth of God. In fact, you go back to Exodus chapter 20, it actually says, he says specifically, he says in verse 23, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. He's just given them the Ten Commandments. He told them don't make any graven image. And then he says it again, don't do this. Now, this is really only a few months later. And Aaron says, what's it say? Break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and all your daughters, and bring them unto me. In other words, if we can't see the invisible God, we will make a God that we can see and is pleasant to the eye. If we don't like the God that we have, we'll get a different one. If we don't want to, we don't want to have to hear songs about the blood. Because it makes me feel bad, because it means my sins put him on the cross and he suffered. I don't like that. We're gonna chase people away with those kind of things. Well, where's the life? The life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We've got to come face to face with our shortcomings and our sin, or we're not going to have a salvation. Yeah, but it's not very user friendly. But that's the only way it works. Verse 3, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So they attribute the power of God to the works of man's hands. It's amazing how we'll do that. We'll think some church is great because they have a great building. It may not be doing what God's called them to do. Watch this. Verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now, it really wasn't his idea, and I don't think he would have done this on his own. But he had a crowd. And they were kind of frustrated, and they didn't know where Moses was, and they said, build us gods, make us gods. And he said, okie dokie, here we go. Now, he could have stood up and said, now, this is not God. And here I'm going to crush it. I want you to see that this is not what God is. If it's God, I can break it up, and what good is it? Go ahead, Mr. God, stop me. He's not going to stop me. But he didn't. He says, okay, we're going to get it out, and we're going to call this church. We're going to have a feast of the Lord. We're going to worship God, and we're going to do it our way. We call what we are doing the worship of the Lord, but that doesn't make it so. They wanted what they wanted on their terms. Watch this. On their timing. Now. We're not going to wait for Moses. We want to do this, we want to do it now. We want to do it when we want to do it, not when he wants to do it. This is the only day I have. Now, hang on. The only day I have free to do what I need to do is on Sunday. So can we have church or do something at some other time? Well, that's the Lord's day, and that was the day he set apart. That's why we all don't have anything to do on Sunday, because that we used to leave Sunday alone for the Lord. They want it on their timing. They want it in the way that is pleasing to them. They like, you know what? It really looked nice. It's that golden calf. It was gold. I mean, it was gold. Man, we're getting classy here. Look at how beautiful it is. It must be from God if it's this beautiful. They wanted the preacher, the representative of God, if you will, to endorse it. And they found one. Aaron said, well, let's have church. They wanted the preacher. The preacher went along with them and possibly out of fear of man more than out of fear of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, it says that they have itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. And he says, they will turn themselves to fables. Now, come on. Here be thy gods. This is the God that got us out of Egypt. Let's worship and bow down. You say, well, we wouldn't do that. You know what we think? We think our money is our God. I don't know which one that goes in here. We think our money is our God. If that doesn't work, we'll find out. That's not the one. All right. We'll name anything we want. And all of a sudden, that's what's going to get us through life. That's what's going to protect us. That's what's going to provide for us. That's going to be our God. How silly we are. In other words, they're saying, tell me what I want to hear, whether it's true or not. And make me feel good enough about myself that I can face the challenges of life. Tell me what I want to hear. Puff me up so I can have enough fortitude to meet the challenge of life, even if it's not true. But tell me what I want to hear. Look at verse 6. And they rose up. Here's church. And they rose up early on the morrow. You know, it's amazing how we can get up early and do something we like. But 10:30 church is too early. Just saying. As they rose up early and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And that means to give thanks to the one who... Mr. Jack. Peace offerings. They're saying thank you to this golden calf. What did it ever do? So they're giving these peace offerings. And the people, watch, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, you go back and say, that word eat and drink means they had a party. And that word drink means to imbib. So they put a bar in the basement, got a liquor license, and they rose up to play. That word there means to laugh and to joke and to have a good, playful time. Now, wait, listen. I like to laugh and joke. It's all part of who we are. But wait, watch me here now. That's not what church is all about. Who has the funniest preacher? Which one, you know, can sing the best? Who has the prettiest ooh baby girls who sing up front of the platform? Whose music is going to do I like? It's not whether I like the music. Do the words speak to my heart? Do they do something in my soul? And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have filled their lives with a bunch of the junk of the world. We have reinvented God. We've reinvented Jesus. We've reinvented church. We've reinvented sin. We've reinvented holiness. We're trying to side with things. We make a new definition. It says, well, verse 8 says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says this. It's talking about this time. It says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, our ensamples, really the word there, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink in bib and rose up to play. When that use that verse there, it says that this, when it says rose up to play, it means to sport around. It was all worldly fellowship. No truth. We're going to church to have a good time. The fact is, I like going to church. I have a good time. But I like to know truth. That's what I'm coming for. The preacher designed a God the people would like. See, that's what we're designing a God. We're designing a faith. We're designing a religion that the people want. That's what pussyfooting preachers do. I'm not trying to be mean here, and I'm not saying I'm the only one good one in town. Maybe I'm not all that good. But I'm just saying this is what we should be doing. This is what we should be doing. We need to make the Word of God primary, the foremost. The people's religion had a classy, rich appearance. Look at that golden calf. And look how many people gave to the cause. It must be good. And look how fast this all went. It must be God. Watch this. They had their own music. Hang tight. Exodus 32, verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. But the noise of them that sing do I hear. They rose up to play. That was music that has the loud and the harsh sounds of confusion and chaos and war and conflict rather than the sounds of praise and glory and worship. You know, when rock came out, it was done so in rebellion. When it came out, you listen to it, there's several of the folks who were at the beginning of all that. They said, rock and roll is sex, and sex is rock and roll. I'm not trying to be inappropriate here, but I'm just trying to be plain with you. Do you know where they got the term rock and roll? I taught that in public school for 6 years. One of the reasons I felt like I had to leave because I was supposed to make these people look like they're great people. Couldn't do that. Our music, so I don't like that. Well, first of all, it's amazing how the soul changes those things. When I was a kid, my mom had gotten saved, and I come home and she's listening to the radio, and I would listen to Three Dog Night and all these guys, and all this stuff, and she'd have the radio going, and there's somebody going, oh, I love him, how I adore him, my strength, my sunshine, my all in all, someone, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. And she's listening to all this stuff. She's like, Mom, how can you listen to this stuff? Come on. You're burning my ears here. But you know what? I'd rather listen to that than a lot of the stuff that I used to listen to. I'm just telling you. Our music should sound like praise and worship to the Lord, not just what we want to hear that makes me feel good. Now, it can make you want to tap your toe. That's okay. But it makes you want to swing some other things. We've got a problem. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm serious. What are we doing? If not careful, it becomes a distraction of what God's trying to do with the music. Colossians 3:16. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's the purpose of the music in the church. That's the purpose of the music in the church. And any other music is fine as long as it's not dragging you into the junk of the world. Now, I don't listen to, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam. I don't listen to that. I don't. But there are some other things that are out there that are fine. But you got to be careful that it's putting you in the right direction, not the wrong direction. What am I saying? When a pussyfooting preacher decides he's going to try to please the people, he'll make a God that makes them happy. He'll make a religion that pleases them. Not only that, they're going to have a worship service that pleases them. Not necessarily pleasing the Lord, but pleases them, pleases the people. It's what they want to hear. But this is what we're used to. Well, if that's what you're accustomed to, and you've been out in the world all this time, maybe we should do something different. Now, there's a lot of different things we can do. We don't have to all do the same thing. You don't have to do exactly what we're doing here. I was in a church down in Maryland some years ago and went in there, and they started to sing the hymns, and they had a guitar and a banjo and an old upright piano and a bass, and they were going to sing, and they sang, they sang their hymns. And the preacher that I went to go see, he stood up and said, wait a minute, how many folks around here are from West Virginia? Well, half the church was. It was a Maryland church, but half the church was from West Virginia. So I thought so. And there wasn't a thing wrong with what they did. However, you take what they did and take it up to Boston someplace, they're going to go. But you know what? You take a well-polished choir in Boston and take it down to that church and have them sing it and say, I don't get it. Neither one was wrong. Neither one was necessarily more right than the other. There's a lot of things you can do, but just make sure that it's pleasing the Lord and not displeasing the Lord. Their music was their music. Let me give you another one. All right, I'm going to read it for you first, then I'll give you the phrase. Exodus 32:25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among the enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi, that we talked about, we'll talk about it a little bit more, gathered themselves to come unto him. Now they claimed they were worshiping God, but they were really pleasing themselves. And they wanted to appease and comfort themselves in their uneasiness over the current social financial condition. Moses isn't here. But what'd he do? We're going to do as we please. That word naked means to loosen and expose. Apparently, they didn't do that when they worshiped God. Because Moses was surprised when he came down and saw that mess. Now, you don't have, again, I've said, you don't have to have a hanky just for show, not for blow. I just think I like it. I just kind of like it. I was looking at cars. I like a little extra chrome on my car, and all this kind of stuff. I like things look, that's who I am. But, that's neither here nor there. But we'll tell you this, we ought to be modest. We ought to cover ourselves up. We're not supposed to dress like the rest of the world. They were out drinking. They were not having a big party. It's all about the booze and the food. They called it worship. They had their own music. They're having a party. They said, "We're going to come dressed the way we want." Now you come. I'm not worried. I'm not trying to get you to dress up and say, "Well, you got to dress as good as we do." No, God's not a respecter of persons. But I do think we ought to be modest, and I think we ought to give the Lord our best. Now, if your best is a new pair of overalls, bless your heart, come. That's fine. No problem with that. But we ought to be modest. worship out of the fear of the Lord. And like Aaron, many preachers in these days are sinner sensitive rather than Savior sensitive. The people say, make us a God to worship. Then Aaron makes them a God to worship. And then he attaches some far-fetched, concocted story to try and legitimize his actions. As if the people want to run around, you know, half naked, dance seductively, and eat and drink like a hedonistic society, and then we go along with it and try to keep everybody happy and not against us. When Moses came down and said, Aaron, why in the world did you do that? Well, they asked for it, and we just took all this gold, we threw it in the fire, and I'll pop this thing. I'll pop this calf. No, it says he took it, he molded it, he made a form, and he cast it, and then he worked it all out. I mean, he did a lot of work. But we're going to give all the glory to God. It just popped out. God doesn't want that kind of glory. Don't you put my name on that thing. They weren't looking for the Lord, the law of the Lord. They were looking to keep the law. They weren't looking to keep the law of the Lord. They were not there to bring glory to God. They were not there by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. They didn't care about all that. We had a preacher who was pussyfooting by trying to please all the people. That's where we live. That's where we live. And you know what we're going to end up with? The Bible says dung on our face. When this is all said and done, we're going to be seen for the fools that we really are. Now, I won't get into all of this. But the point was, and you can see it, sometimes preachers want popularity. And everybody be happy with them. Another one, sometimes preachers just want prosperity. They found that there's some money to be found in this religion thing. They're not necessarily concerned about all the truth, but they're concerned about bringing glory to God. In fact, to tell you the truth, the people of God could be wiped off the face of the map as far as they're concerned. You say, is that true? You go back in Numbers 22 and read the story about Balaam. King Amalek of Moab said, you know what? We need to curse the people of God. And he came to Balaam, who was a prophet of God. He said, I hear that when you say it, it happens. So I want you to curse these people. And he said, well, I don't think we should probably do that. No, I think you should. There's a lot of money in it. Well, anyway, I think we can see what God says. Now, when he went to God, he should have already known if he was a preacher. God's already said, I'm going to bless those who bless Abraham and curse those that curse Abraham. Done. What are you asking? You don't go back and ask, well, I really think that, you know, we're getting married and I've got some folks at our family who drink, and should I have alcohol at my wedding? You don't have to pray that. You don't have to ask that. The answer is no. If you go back to, I think it was Haggai, talks about giving your friends alcohol. No. Wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. You know, listen, we don't have to ask about these things. God's already settled these things. Now, I'm going to try to be mean, and I've said things that we've all messed up over the years. I'm trying to teach you where we are supposed to be right now. He wouldn't have ever thought twice about cursing the people. This is Balaam. I'm in a different story here. Wouldn't have thought twice. But he did. Because you know what? I can make you a big guy and give you a lot of money. And you know what happened? I'm not going to go through all this, but you know what happened? When Joshua went in and actually took the promised land, in Joshua 13:22, it says this, Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. When God's people went and took the land, Balaam died with the rest of the heathen people. Now, we're supposed to give glory to the Lord of hosts, to have lips that keep knowledge, to seek the law right at his mouth, Truth is what it's all about. Know truth, proclaim truth, live truth. Never waver on truth. But we have some pussyfooting preachers, some pussyfooting Christians, and we've all have probably danced around some things. Let's stop the dance. Stay on the Word of God and do right. That's a tough message. But you know what? If we don't preach it, it'll just keep getting worse. It'll keep getting worse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us here this morning. Lord, this was tough, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will do his work and drive the truth to our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes.